saying you were okay with the most recent.
I'll admit that I did say that, but as we discussed
I'm not going to try to catch you on
something. Yeah, no, we discussed it more, and it's like any other kind of policy involved. More people started contacting us and saying, hey, wait a minute. We started saying, hey, you know, we're doing a disservice to the citizens of Madison and their kids to just say, hey, fine, you know, we like the resource formula. Of course, that's the resource formula doles out allocations, but I think the issue of equity is a larger issue than just the resource formula itself, and that's why we're trying to get a meeting with Mr. Rainwater to kind of discuss how he sees equity. We don't really know how everybody sees equity. Yeah.
So besides kind of a common definition, what would be the other features in your mind in equity? I mean, my own opinion is that no matter what language is there, no matter what rhetoric is there, it's not tied to resource allocation and how services get to kids. Then it's just that a policy that you dust off and say you have one. So what are the elements? I mean,
well, there would certainly be elements about how to deal with situations where a school is in crisis or feels like they're not receiving an equitable shake from how things are allocated. And I mean, I don't know that anybody's ever been down that road before. But I read the old Wilhoit policy, I see what they were trying to get at. And I tried to talk to some people who were involved with it before, but I haven't gotten an answer yet. But you know, obviously they had a vision as to what they wanted, but I don't see that anybody currently really has a vision of what they want as far as the administration of the board goes. I mean, I think we certainly see situations like what's going on at East High right now, where you know, we'd love to be able to say a strong equity policy dictates that not only do we get a new principal, but we have a full court press on the gang thing and the problems with minorities not being involved in after school activities. And you know, there's a myriad of issues that are all involve kids at risk. And I think that at the same time, equity also talks to a wealthier school. And they might feel like, well, they have different needs that aren't necessarily tied to kids at risk. And so how do you go about dealing with that? That's obviously what you guys volunteer to do, and you got elected to do this. That's what they get paid for, so that's what I want to see. Somebody take it, you know, sit down and hash it out.
I've got Juan, then Oliver, then Carol.
That's fine. Yeah, thanks. I'm sorry. Well, I just more questions. I mean, so you're saying potentially equity, an equity policy, might take into account, besides resource allocations, might have a strategy or a way to respond to a school in crisis, a way to respond to gang activity, a way
of special need that arises in a particular part of town. I mean, obviously, as a Northeast Sider and people on the East Side, we look at the numbers and we see a lot more poverty on our side of town.
Right.
Okay. And I understand that opens up the floodgates for every single school to come in here and say, we need equity. But I don't see that as my job to figure that out. I see my job as to get you the input to help you figure that out. And I'm not saying in a perfect world, obviously, it wouldn't be a problem, but it's not a perfect world, so that's why we put our heads together.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that you understand that any boundary changes, there's no approval from this board. As a matter of fact, we're going to have hearings in March, and we're going to have continued discussion. And as far as public input, I just want to make sure, because everywhere I go, even before boundaries, it doesn't matter where I go, whether I'm at the Esquire Club in the north side of town, or whether I'm at the Warner Park Community Center, people are always giving me an earful about issues that are important to them, from boundary changes to equity to athletics to the new principal at East High School to you know, more teachers or my teacher or whatever. And we do get, and we do support, and we do, as a matter of fact, we ask people to come and give us input. And I'll give you one example, because Mendota Elementary School is one prime example. And Ms. Parkinson and I were on the board at the time, and I don't remember if everybody else was. But it was the Northside Planning Council. There was one of the women in the back there, Jill Jocala, and several people that came to us, and we had a discussion. We went to the school. They met with the administration. We talked about the change of the leadership at that school. We looked at equity. We looked at the issues surrounding that school, and we responded. So I want you to let me tell you, at least from my perspective, and I know my colleagues on the board, we're going to listen. It's not going to be easy. I'll tell you that much. But I was at Walmart last night. I was at the Warner Park Community Center. I was at the Y yesterday. I think all of yesterday I spent on the east side of town, on the north side of town, and everybody told me about their school closing and so forth, from Emerson to, you know, to Lindbergh, to Lakeview, everywhere I went to. But please understand, we haven't made any decisions. And I know that your input is very important. I listen to the comments when you come before us. I listen whether you're quoted in the newspaper. No, because I want you to know that I read Carrie's email 3 times today before I came here today. But we are always soliciting input, and the decision hasn't been made, and we have responded at like that. And I'll tell you, Mendota is a prime example, and East High School is very important. I live 4 blocks from East High School, from Emerson Elementary, and I live 5 blocks from East High School. And the north side of town and the east side of town is very important. It's a bigger issue, but I just want to rest assured people that we are going to listen, and we're going to have to make decisions that are going to be tough.
I think my whole point is, of course, that equity doesn't know any boundaries, just like mobility doesn't know boundaries and poverty doesn't know boundaries.
Oliver, you want to say?
I just wanted to comment. You know, Mr. Lopez makes a good point that you know we see. I saw you on Channel 3, I think it was, on Monday, and this was this was honestly 4 days before I got the packet with the boundary changes in it, and the only reason I knew about it was because my dad came home and said, well, there's going to be thunder because we laid out everything. The committee, the long range planning committee, asked the administration to lay out multiple options, many as you could throw out there. And so that's what the administration did. I think they did a good job of trying to throw out just as many different possibilities as could be out there. And I think that, you know, it's unfortunate, but I think that you have to look at the whole picture, and you have to look at it in a number of different ways. And I just wanted to comment on the transparency of this process and echo what Mr.
That the superintendent of the district will make special note of schools over 15%. It doesn't say they will do anything to those schools. It doesn't say it will give them more resources. It doesn't say they'll give them anything. It just says, as you review all the schools, you'll take special note of those over 15%. And that 15% has kind of gotten rolled into something that it was never intended to be and hasn't been. It just says those over 15% you will look at more carefully than you look at others. And when we get into equity policy, I'll talk about that. I want to be sure everybody understood that. It really doesn't say they get more. It just says you take special note.
And the reason
I think that what you and Laura are suggesting in terms of taking some time, setting up a committee, maybe of citizens to get more input makes sense. I don't see that there's any urgency. So I will make that proposal when we get to it. The other thing I just realized. I want to ask Jane a question. We've got with our equity policy this distribution of how staffing at the elementary, and the column that's marked supplemental is that's the staff that was distributed to schools based on the equity resource allocation.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there were some schools held harmless because they have no other additional allocation.
Okay.
And other than that, that's distributed through.
I think because I know that Lakeview got 1.3 staff FDEs, Lindbergh got 1.1, Mendota got 1.2. So there was a claim that there hadn't been any attempt to balance for the neediest schools.
We have a document that we'll pass out tonight that actually takes each of the schools, ranks them by the percentage of low-income kids, and shows what the staff-student ratio is in those schools. And I think what's clear is that those schools who are 60% and above have less students per staff as a group universally than do students who have the next band and the next band and the next band. So there has been special attention paid to those schools. The resource formula is constructed to do that. That's what it was constructed for. When we actually get the equity policy, I'll be glad to walk through.
Okay. And the equity resource policy, as I'm sure you know, comes out of the East Area Task Force from about 6-7 years ago. The one other thing is that under the old policy, East doesn't qualify. I mean, it doesn't rise to that level. None of the high schools are 15% above. But what you're saying is that we need to have a way of providing special attention to a school that has certain kinds of needs. And I don't know that they're always related necessarily to income. But I agree with you that perhaps we need to look at that.
At the risk.